We welcome our sister Chitilayo being here to share with us. So good morning and good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon to you, Sister Chitilayo. And y'all, amen.
Amen, Sarah. Thank you so very much, Sarah. Thank you, Ma. Thank you for so much. I appreciate you for this privilege to be among the living, to be able to minister in here. Thank you so much. I'm not taking it for granted. Thank you for the honor. I appreciate you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. And good morning, good afternoon to every one of us. Good morning to you, Mom. Good morning to all the daddies and brothers and sisters in the house. And happy birthday to Brother Raphael once again. Thank you so much. Right. Today, as I was just wondering, I say, Lord, what should I talk about? Talk about me. Oh, my God. And today we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is he to us? What are the benefits of we having him with us? What is he here to help us to do? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why is he here? Why did he leave? Why did he not leave us comfortless? Why did he say, I'm going to come and dwell in you? So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about him, he eventually manifests himself. Even before now, he said, where two or three people are gathering, there is where he is. And so because we are talking about him again, I mean, imagine, if somebody call upon your name, won't you answer? Yeah, we're talking about the King of Glory. Obviously, he's here. So I'm going to pray, Eternal Father, Eternal Spirit, it is about you, God. It is about you, the creator of the whole universe. It is about you, Lord God Almighty, who has foreknown us before the foundation of the world. It is about you who loved us so dearly and you call us your own. It is about you who sealed us, O God, to yourself, that we are yours. So, Holy Spirit, over to you, Lord. If you are done, take all the glory, Lord. I'm just a vessel. Just use my vocal cord to minister to your precious people and even to me, myself. You minister to me. I minister to your children, to your servants, to everyone in here, because you've foreknown us before the foundation of the world. So we reference you, we acknowledge your presence in the name of Jesus. Over to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, O God, for helping me to speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and giving us understanding on what it is you have done for us in, as a whole. Lord, we bless you, appreciate you, Father James, appreciate you. Because you are faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you so much, sir, once again. It's about the Holy Spirit. And the question is, who is the Holy Spirit? And I went and started searching. I started from the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, verse 2. That was the law of first mention of who this Holy Spirit is. And I read and I saw that the Holy Spirit was actually, he has been from the beginning. By the way, he has no beginning or the ending. But for humanity, it has to start from somewhere. He has been before the foundation of the world. He has been ever before the earth was made. So he is the eternity before eternity passes. He will still be. Even when this earth is no more, he will still be. Because he's the Almighty God himself. Holy Spirit is the Almighty God, the creator of the whole heaven and the earth. So in Genesis chapter number 1 and in verse 2, declare that, let me start from one, by the way. Say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But something happened. And then the earth became without form and void. And the darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God, that was the first time it was being mentioned, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God has been from the beginning. He is still with us now. And he will see, when the earth will be no more, when this world will be no more, he will see me. So he's the Alpha and the Omega, is everything. So it has no beginning, no, the ending. But for sake of time, we say it's the beginning. Because of time, we say it's the beginning. But in real sense, it has no beginning because it's the creator that was not created. It's the Almighty God himself. And just a little brush over in Genesis what happened. He then loved us. He created everything within 6 days. And it's such a orderly God. That's what he did. He made sure that he finished the creation before he created we man. Before he created man, he made sure that he created things. So that, because I was wondering, how could we have survived? How could Adam have survived without all those things that was being created before him? So God, in his own wisdom, in his mightiness, in his orderliness, he created everything. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, and on the sixth day, he created man. And then that takes us to Genesis 1:26, and he said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So God, singular, God created man in his own image. His own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created him there. Okay, so that was how we came to be. And in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 7, after he created man in chapter 1, and in chapter 2, verse 26 and 7, and in verse 28, he blessed man. He said, and God blessed them, and God said unto man, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image. God blessed that man that he made. And in chapter 2, verse 7, in our breath, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the bread of life, and man became a living soul. So God impacted himself into a man so that the man can become a living soul. The man can become eternal being. But unfortunately, something terrible happened. Man lost that glory. A man was driven out of the garden. A man was struggling. But God still loved man. See, I've made man in my image, and I'm not going to leave man. I want to dwell with man. This is a special being. We are not like the dog or cat, no animal. No, he created us in his own image. And his image is a spirit. Because the Bible says in John chapter number 4, John 4 said to us, in verse 24, God is a spirit. That is the image that he created the man with. He created the man in his image. And what image are we talking about? John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So because he's a spirit, he now created man in his own image, which is the image of a spirit. So man actually is a spirit. That was why Adam could name all the animals and whatever it is that Adam called those animals. That was exactly what they were, because he is a spirit being himself. And in the cool of the evening, God will always have fellowship with them. But unfortunately, when sin came, they lost that koinonia, that fellowship that was lost. But God still loved man. And so God was now looking for a way whereby the word that he spoke in Genesis chapter number, because when they fell, there was the implication of what it was that he did. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Lord God Almighty actually said something that had to come to pass. Genesis 3:15 said, and God said, I was track to 14, because that was what led to the word that God commanded, because Satan did what was wrong. The serpent was so evil. And 14 said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I mean, in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What does that mean? There were four things that were said there. There was, God was saying to Satan there, he was saying to serpent there, he said, serpent, there will be no more affinity between the serpent and the woman. So he's creating enmity between the serpent and the woman. That was the first thing that happened. And the woman, and between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed. So there will be enmity between the seed of serpent and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of serpent, and the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. So now God is now going to fulfill this declaration that he has made here, because the Bible says, forever, O God, your word is said, whatever it is that goes out of his mouth, it has to come to pass. So this was what was written, and the seed of the woman must come to bruise the head of the serpent. So God had to now start looking, and he found Abraham. Fast forward, Abraham had Isaac, a child of promise. He got a covenant with Abraham. Abraham had a son called Isaac. Abraham was actually from his own grandfather, is Shem, which was one of the sons of Noah after the flood. So Abraham found grace, and he had a child of promise. And through Isaac, Jacob came. Jacob and Esau, but Esau, and Jacob had 12 children, and that formed the children of the Jewish nation. Right, okay, so fast forward, God called Moses to go deliver them, because there was a prophecy that they would go through the bondage for 400 years. So God had to call Moses, go and deliver them. So whilst that was happening, God asked, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you the ordinances that these people are going to follow. Mind you, the intention, the purpose is for this Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, to come to pass. So God was working it out. And that is the Spirit of God, by the way. When I'm saying God, I'm saying the Spirit of God, I'm saying the Holy Spirit. Of course, in the whole Old Testament, it wasn't called Holy Spirit. It's a spirit, but we cannot call him. His spirit is not like the other spirits. Even Satan himself is a spirit, but the God that we are talking about, our good God that we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit. His own spirit is holy. His whole own spirit it's not defiled. It's an holy God. Whatever it is he says, whatever it is he does, everything about him is holy. So the word holy is to characterize him, to differentiate him, that this great God we're talking about here, this creator of the whole universe, is an holy God and is a spirit. And he created man in his own image and after his own likeness. And he has a plan for man. He loved us so much. He loved man. He made us so much like himself. What an honor. What a privilege for the creator to create somebody. I mean, look at the kings of this earth. What do they do? They make the people to be subject to them. They make the citizen to be under them, to control them. But imagine, look at what our own God did. God did not create us lower than himself. He created us in his own image. Oh Lord, we are grateful. So he is a good God. Even in our wretched estate, even when we fell, he was still looking for a way to bring us back to himself. And he was working it out, until the seed of the woman, which is actually Jesus Christ himself, now came to the earth. And that takes us to Matthew. The first time we'll hear about the seed of the woman. In Matthew chapter number 1, the seed of the woman came finally. And what was his intention? To save his people, to deliver us, and to bruise the head of the serpent. And that was exactly what was done on the cross. When the Savior came, his name is Jesus. He said his name shall be called Jesus because he will come to save his people from their sin. Our Savior came. A manger born. Came and was born in a manger. He left his glory and was born. He identified with us. We behold him not like a tree or mango, but he came as a man. This man Jesus came to die for us on the cross. What was the intention? That he will come and dwell inside of man. You remember, when he breathed on Adam, and Adam became a living soul, and the glory departed, when Jesus came on earth and he died, hallelujah, when he rose from the dead, he restored that which was lost. Hallelujah. And that was found in John. In John 20, and in verse 19 to 20. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So that was it. So what was lost in the garden, and the devil thought he was having a field day over us, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price in full through the eternal spirit, and he now came even while the door was shut. And that's why I say Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is Jesus without boundaries. The Holy Spirit is Jesus without boundaries, without limitation. Before he died, he could only be at a place at a time. But when he rose from the dead, while the door was shut, on the very first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be still. So Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ without boundaries, without limitation. Is the omnipresent, is everywhere on his throne and at the same time on earth, and at the same time in your heart, and at the same time in my heart, and at the same time in the heart of all the true believers that have given their heart to him. So he cannot be numbered as men count 1, 2, 3 in the numerical world. He's one and he's infinite. He's such a mighty God and is the embodiment of wisdom himself. So he's such a good God, and that is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. Holy Spirit, the creator of the whole universe, the one that inhabits eternity, Isaiah verse 15, and he declared this by himself, who he is, because there was no one that could sworn by, there was no greater one to sworn by, he sworn by himself. Here he declared in Isaiah 57, a great God himself, and in verse 15, said, for thus says the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That is God speaking with authority, with power of who he is. He said, I dwell in high and holy place. Yes, sir. With him also that is of a contrite heart. Oh, my God. That is the God we are serving. That is the Holy Spirit, our Father. He said, peace be still. And he came and he breathed. So he restored back his glory inside of us. So we carry God. We are the mortality that now carries God. As long as you have believed in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, in his finished work, you have been cleansed. Will you remember that when they were being driven out of the garden, they were, the gate was shut. The cherubims were actually mounting that gate so that they would not go back in there. But see what the Lord did. When God called Moses, he told, showed him all the ordinances of what was going to happen. This is what, how I want you to make sure that you do it according to the pattern. Build the ark, and let's go to Hebrew chapter number 9. Father, we are grateful for who you are to us. Let's go Hebrew 9, and in verse, I'm going to write 1 to 12, so that we can understand what the Lord did. Hebrew 9, 1 to 12. It's a long verse, but just bear with me, please. Hebrew 9, and in verse 1. Said, then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that bore it, and the tables of the covenant. Verse 5. And over it the cherubims of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest only, high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Thanks be to God. Verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. So he was the one that was able to enter in once and for all, because even the physical, the man, the priest, according to man, could only go there once in a year, and you had to offer sacrifice for himself first of all, and then for the sacrifice of the people. But when the king, when Jesus Christ, when he came as the sacrificial lamb, as the only true God that without blemish, he entered through, he entered by his own blood. He entered in once into the Holy of Holies, and obtained eternal redemption for us. And he said, we are no more guilty because he paid the price for us. So the access has now come. Hallelujah. The temple veil was rented into twain according to the book of Mark. As soon as they gave up the ghost, the temple veil rented, was no more barrier between the outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There is an access that now is, can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. The Spirit of God gave us access. So now the access has been given to us. Who is now the Holy Spirit? And what are his characteristics? This God now, who has given us access and said, beckon us to come in. Come, just as you are. He washed us clean. He delivered us, first of all, because we were bound. He delivered us. He cleansed us with his own word. The cleansing power of his word cleansed us. Removed the chains and shackles, cleansed us, justified us as if we have never sinned. And now gave us his Spirit to dwell in us. When he breathed on us, that Spirit tabernacled inside of us. And now we are now carrying God everywhere we go. So that takes us to the, what is the characteristics of this God Almighty? Why did he have to do this? Why did he have to do this? He didn't want that, there was some we always say, he didn't want to leave, he didn't want to live in heaven by himself. He said he wants us to be together. He's a relational God himself. He's such a loving God that he wants, you know, the way he created us is such that we are different from everything he has created. He gave us a will. He now wants us to use our will by ourselves. The will of a man is so powerful. And I think Brother Raphael alluded to that yesterday about one of the things he said. The will of a man is so powerful. Imagine a man can say, I don't believe in God. I don't want to serve God. Ordinary Cleo telling his creator that he doesn't believe in him because he's got a will. But God said, I'm going to create this free moral species of people that they will use their will to love me, to follow, as in follow him, to love him just without being cajoled, without being compelled, without being forced, that you will just wake up and say, Lord, I love you. And you just yield to him. So this is who he has made us to be. So he now said, I want to come and dwell inside of a man. And how have, I don't want, Daddy has taught that, has taught us on this platform that it was good enough to have a face-to-face relationship, as in like Moses, he spoke with Moses mouth to mouth. But this time around, it is about unison with the Spirit of God. As in, the Spirit of God inside of a man, man inside God, God inside of a man. My goodness. So we have inseparable union with Christ. This is a privilege. This is an honor. So that we know who we carry. It's not what, it is who. His name is Jesus and is the Almighty God. And he indwells us. Psalm 90 is our dwelling place. And I love that song. Psalm 90 and in verse 1 to 2. Is our dwelling place, is our hiding place, is our everything. It cannot be compared, it cannot be numbered. Is in heaven and at the same time on earth. The heavens of heavens cannot contain him. As great as he is and as mighty as he is, the whole heavens cannot contain him. Yet, he has a place in your hearts and in my heart. This is an awesome grace, and he's an awesome wonder. He's such a wonderful God that no one else can do what exactly he has done. He's the mighty God that we carry, and he is there sitting upon the throne of our heart. Say, a new heart I will give to you, and I will cause my Spirit to lead you. Ezekiel chapter 36. So, okay, let me just not jump ahead of myself. I want to read the first thing I said before. Yeah. Who is this God himself? Who is this Ancient of Days himself? Is the mighty God that said, I don't want to live alone. I want to dwell in man. I want to house man, Psalm 90. I want to be in the dwelling place of man. And exactly what he did in Psalm 90, according to what the psalmist said in Psalm 90. Going there now. Psalm 90 and in verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he has been there all along. He is our dwelling place, and we are his dwelling place as well. So this, David, no wonder the spirit of David will revive. This is even when the manifestation of when Jesus Christ has not even come. He has already, in the spirit, understood by the revelation of God that gave to him, understood how great this God is, that he is our dwelling place. And he has been there before the foundation of the world, before the mountains were brought forth. He has been there. So he is our dwelling place, and we are his dwelling place. We are his sanctuary that he carries him. Say our body is his temple that he dwells. So even though the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, but yet he has a place in your heart as his home. He's dwelling inside of you. You are not ordinary. I am not ordinary. Every single believer are not ordinary. We carry divinity. We carry God Almighty, and he's there, and he's with us. And now we're going to the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. But people say, Holy Spirit, they think when they blow something, and they think it's when they blow, make it blow, or blow the air that they're blowing. He's a person. He has feelings. He's God Almighty. He's God. He speaks, he knows. So Holy Spirit is a person, and that is the person of Christ himself. He speaks. In John chapter number 6 and verse 23, he said that God is a spirit. Let's go, hold on. In John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is the Holy Spirit himself is a spirit, and he quickens. His word speaks. He speaks, he quickens, he gives life. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Whatsoever that we go through, he comforts. So he has a feeling. He comforts. He knows what it is you go through. Except for we do not have an high priest that is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He was in the same way tempted yet without sin. He is the God Almighty that feels. He knows what you are going through. He knows where you are at. As we speak on this same platform, where you are thinking there and there in your heart, he knows it. Is the omniscient God, all knowing. That is this God that we serve, all knowing. And that was in Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6. When we say, when he knows my downsitting and my uprising, he knows everything about you. Well, before you were born, he knows everything about you and me. He knows how many people will be at this platform today. He knows your name. He knows what time you slept yesterday. He knows what time you woke up this morning. He knows what you are thinking right there in your heart. He's the all-knowing. So he has feelings. He's a person. He's a good God. He's our God as well. So he quickens us. He quickens our mortal bodies. Holy Spirit comforts us. He knows your plights. He knows your fears. He knows what you are afraid of. But he comes in to comfort you even at that instance. Holy Spirit helps us. He is not the helper. He himself is the help himself. He sent helpers. But he himself is the embodiment of help. If you have Holy Spirit, you have help. He helps us in every single way. Just like Brother Raphael was talking yesterday. He helps the sheep. In Psalm 23, that was I said, Brother Raphael, you are actually just putting hand into what I want to say. What things need to do. He helps us. Holy Spirit helps the sheep to navigate his affair, to know where there's food. He helps the sheep to direct the sheep to greener pastures and feed the sheep. Right. He helps every single one of his sheep. He does not leave his sheep alone. He guides his sheep because he does not slumber nor sleep. He is the Almighty God, all-knowing, or omniscience, all-knowing, or omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere. So he's with you, whether you are lying down, you are sitting upright, wherever posture you have assumed, the Lord is right there with you as his sheep. Because he's a good shepherd. So he helps, he comforts us. That is the Holy Spirit. So you are not left unattended to, you are not left on your own. And that was what he said in John chapter 14. Let's go there again. So the reason why he had to really come was in John chapter 14. It was expedient. He said it was expedient for me to go. If I don't go, Comforter will not come. And he came as a comforter and he now came to dwell in us. So that was the original purpose of him coming. The world could not take him though, they could not receive him, but we know him, we received him, we have him. So in John 14 and in verse 6, let me abstract the towards the end of it, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither know him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. He was with us as Jesus with limitations, with boundaries. But he now came and dwelt in us as Jesus Christ with no boundaries, with no limitation. So he dwelleth with them then, because when this was written, Jesus Christ has not died. He dwelleth with them, but they then came and brethren them and live in them. And I say, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. I will come to you. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord has not left you and me comfortless. We are not like an orphan that hasn't got a father and mother. Even though we don't have even biological parents, he's still our father, he's still everything. So he said, I will not leave you comfortless. So regardless of what you're going through, be rest assured in your hearts that you've got a father whose name is the Holy Spirit, who is your creator, your maker, your savior, your everything. He said he will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that was exactly what he did. He promised and he came. He came as he has promised. He's in us. Is with us in this platform as we are here. He's seated upon the throne of our heart. He's seated in our midst. He's the one that walks in the midst of the church. He has not left the church. The church is marching on. That's what is ongoing. The church is marching on, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church because he gave birth to the church by himself. When he died, when he rose from the dead, water gushed out. His side was pierced. The water and blood gushed out, gave back to the church, and church will continue to march on till we meet him in the cloud and meet with him, and forever we will be with him. So he has us in his hands, and nothing can steal us from his hands. He's the one that left 99 and looked for one that was lost. So are you lost? Let the Lord find you and bring you back to himself, because some people can backslide in their hearts physically they are there, but spiritually God knows where everybody is at. So wherever you are at, the Spirit of God is searching for you and bringing you back to Himself, because He is a comforter. Because He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you to comfort you, to hold your hands, to guide you, to lead you, to use my rod of correction, because His rod and His staff will comfort you. To use my rod of His rod of correction to reprove you, to rebuke you, to correct you, to shape you and put you in line, and use His staff to guide you, to protect you, to make sure that you don't go astray. You're still within the fold. You're still as in the sheepfold, because He's a sheep shepherd that guides and protects the sheepfold. So that is who He is. Is our helper. That is the Holy Spirit. That's why He came to dwell in us. He doesn't want that. He's so jealous of us. He doesn't want us to be far away. You see, He just wants that unison, like that He taught us. Unison. You in Him, Him in you. Where you go, He goes. You go to work, He's with you. You are sleeping, He's there. You wake up, you are doing number one, number two, He's there. It's just everything. So it's just a privilege. And this is in wisdom He did that. Because if not, say He's far away from us, the enemy can want to, so that's why the enemy cannot touch you. You are untouchable. Why? Because the Spirit of God is inside of you. And the devil knows. It is only we that are supposed to know. That's why the Lord is creating this awareness for us to know that you are not ordinary. You are not on your own. You are not alone. He said it, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come and be in you. So He's in you. So recognize Him, appreciate Him, and communicate with Him from within the throne of your heart. Let Him be seated there. Let nothing take His throne. Let nothing take His place in your heart. Let it remain seated upon the throne of your heart and upon the throne of my heart. So the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Advocate. In John 2:1, He said, has anyone seen? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1. That is who He is to us. Our advocates. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So He's our advocate. So peradventure you fell into sin, please don't remain there. Just ask God to forgive you and move on. So it's like a W. You are on top this morning and later you fell. Just climb up again and stay with Him. And if anything happens, just go back to say, Lord, I'm sorry, repent of it, and continue. He keep advocating for you and for me. So is our advocate, Holy Spirit, our advocate. Holy Spirit is our strengthener. Is that I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Behold, that I incense against you, they shall be as things of naught. Isaiah 41. It will strengthen you. It will engraft you in the palm of His hand. Isaiah 41:10. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit is everything to us. Everything. Everything. Lord, You are everything to us. Our treasure. Our priority. Who can compare with Thee? Great is the measure of Your royalty, bright morning star, You truly are everything. Is our everything, our comforter, our strengthener. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what God is saying to us. Is our Holy Spirit is our strength now. He will strengthen your womb, strengthen your bones, strengthen your eyes, strengthen your liver, your kidneys, your stomach, every organs of your body that is weak. He's got in His storehouse everything. Is everything to us, our treasure, our healer, our deliverer, is everything. So And we are crowning him with many crowns. The crown we are crowning him today is that is the Holy Spirit. It's everything. We crown him as a Lord, as a healer, as a restorer, as a help, as a comforter, as our sustainer, as our standby. He has got so many crowns. So, but today we're just talking about him, crowning him with the crown of the Holy Spirit. That, oh Lord, you are our Holy Spirit. Take this crown, Baba. Take this crown. You are the Lord. You are the King. You are the El Shaddai. You are the creator that was not created. He's got so many crowns. We crown you, Lord. 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 We crown you. We crown you. We crown you, Lord of all. You are the Lord of all, Lord. And so we crown him as the King of glory, as the Holy Spirit, the creator of the whole universe. So he said, I will strengthen thee. Physical strength, spiritual strength, financial strength, matrimonial strength, ministerial strength, your body, physical body, organ of your organ that is weak. The Lord said, I will strengthen thee. So you just identify where exactly you need the strength and take it. It's yours for you to take because your dad has said it. I will strengthen thee. So be it unto us according to your word. Strengthen us, strengthen Elder Itsukudo. Strengthen him. Strengthen his bones, his livers, his kidneys, his pancreas, everything that made him his being. Lord, strengthen it, my Lord, because you are the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Holy Spirit is our standby. Stand by you as you are there, as I'm here. Is standing by each and every one of us. It is by his mercy that we are not consumed indeed. If not for him, my goodness, where would we have been? So Holy Spirit is standing by you. Holy Spirit is our teacher, my goodness. We can say that again and again. He's our teacher, our rabbi. He teaches us. And he uses his ministers, like our father here, Pastor Yaro. He has been teaching us. God has been teaching him to teach us. He's the greatest teacher himself. He's the one that brings rhema of his word. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. He said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When we read the letter, it doesn't make anything. But when the spirit of God illuminated Kasatobara and enlighten and put light into it, my goodness, that word becomes wow. Wow. And then there's going to be like a light bulb. And your eyes are going to pop open like, and you'll be blessed. So is our teacher. He teaches us his word. Because the Bible is not a story. It's not a novel. It's not like you just read it. It's just not an ordinary book. It is the book, is the word of God that God gave to us to comfort us, to teach us. All scriptures are profitable for doctrines, for correction, to correct us, to reprove us, to guide us, to shape us, to make sure that we are in line, we are in sync with what he wants us to be, so that we can fulfill plans and purposes that he has for us. So he's the greatest teacher. That's the whole work of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I gave my heart newly, and I read the Bible, I'm like, what am I reading? But as I grew day by day, the Holy Spirit started teaching me his word, and now I found his word. The word is joy to me and the rejoicing of my heart. And the Holy Spirit makes you to love his word. It is the Holy Spirit that makes you to love reading his word over and over and over. And hunger. He gives us hunger and thirst for his word. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you are in a situation where you are struggling to study the Bible, where you don't really, where it really doesn't, it's like you are actually forcing yourself. No. Don't force yourself. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Father, you are my teacher. Please teach me your word. And he will teach you as long as you are able to learn. Because you know what? That was exactly what he did for Mary and Martha. Martha, they sat down. But Martha was busy with housework. I'm not saying that was wrong, but everything has got a time, isn't it? So he was teaching and he expects everyone to sit down and learn at his feet. So Mary sat. I was taking it in and was eating the fresh manna, the meat due in due season, and she was satisfied. And then the Lord rebuked Martha. Said, you are encompassed with so many things. The Mary has taken the best thing, has chosen the best. So let's choose the best. Word of God is the best. Word of God tells us God's will. It comforts us. It corrects us, of course, when we are going wrong. And it's still there to shape in us and make sure we as a sheep have not gone astray. So God, the Holy Spirit is our healer. He heals. Holy Spirit heals. So that's the confidence that I have. Because he said, I wish above all things that you be in health and that you prosper even as your soul prospereth. So it is his will for us to be in health, to prosper, right? So that is the work of the Holy Spirit to ensure that your mortal body, your natural eyes is not abated, your bones are being strengthened. The Bible says, if that's it, John, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if that same spirit that rose up Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelling, you know, that same spirit that rose up Jesus Christ from the dead will vitalize your mortal body. So the mortal body will be vitalized by the power of the Holy Spirit because he is our healer. He heals. What about him being loved? The Holy Spirit loves. Holy Spirit loves you, loves me, and he then teaches us how to love. We don't know how to love as we ought to do, but he teaches us how to love. It teaches us how to love the unlovable. You know that some people that, no matter whatever it is you do, my goodness, you will try and try. You will never satisfy them. But yet, Holy Spirit teaches us how to love. It's okay. And so, I think my time is, where am I up to? Daddy? Porter, am I okay, sir? Is the time okay, sir?
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. Keep going.
All right, sir. Thank you, sir. So Holy Spirit teaches us how to love. We don't know how to love. We haven't got that ability to love before we receive Christ. But now that we have received Christ, now that Christ is now dwelling inside of us, he is now teaching us how to love the unlovables. That is not only the people that are pleasant, my brothers and sisters here that I should love. I should love the people that are not lovable. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Some people, your neighbor, you bring your being outside, and somebody is God just say love them. You need to love. Say by this shall all men know that you are his disciple. That's the only way they can distinguish between the people of the world and the children of the Most High God, when we love one another. So the Holy Spirit helps us. So if we are struggling in any area. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm not telling you I'm there yet. I'm still pressing on too. So don't think it's just using my own vocal cord. I'm not there yet myself, you see. So, but if we are struggling in any way or shape where we are struggling with love, ask God to fill your love tank, because the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of love himself, and he teaches us how to love. Even to love your husband, to love your children, to love even those children, even when they are naughty or what have you, don't worry. Just keep loving them. Love will rapture the bride. Love will win the battle. Even the battle that Jesus Christ himself fought, he fought that battle. This hostile world, this wicked kings, everything that ganged against him. He said, why do the Indians drink and the people of the earth imagine event things against the Lord and his anointed? Acts Psalm 2, the Lord shall laugh at them. They ganged up against the Lord that he must be crucified. Crucify him, crucify him. But he fought the battle through one weapon, and that's the weapon of love. He overcame through love. So if the master overcame through love, we have no excuse not to love each other, not to love the people that we think they're unlovable. Rather, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to love them. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the other characteristic of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is our counselor. Ha. Are you in a verge of, where will I turn to? What next will I do? What about career? I want to do a career progress. I want to go here. What should I do? Should I relocate? Should I do this? So many things are just flashing at you, and you're like, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are my comforter. Please guide me on which way to go. And you will hear a voice into your ear. This is the way, walk in it. He will lead. He will not leave. As long as you trust him with your life. As long as you ask him. Because the one thing that David did was to inquire of the Lord. Right? David inquired of the Lord. Should I go? Imagine if David did not ask. How would he know that he was supposed to go? But when he inquired, then the Lord said, go. You will overtake. You will pursue them. You will overtake. And you will recover all. Right? So, but because that started from him making the inquiry. If he did not make the inquiry, he wouldn't have known that I was going to overcome and overtake and recover everything. So there is a need for us to ask the Lord for counsel, and he will not let you down. He will not let you down. I can guarantee you, I can attest to that. He has guided me. Sometimes we lean on our own understanding, but Proverbs 3, verse 5 is saying, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge him, there is the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge him, for he shall direct your path. But most of the time, we think we can handle it. We think, oh, I've done that before now, I can do it. Because when we remember David's story, there was a time he inquired of the Lord, God said, go. There was another time you inquire, God said, don't go. So not all the time is yes. Sometimes it's no. Because God knows he knows all things. He's the omniscient God. He's the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. So let us continue to rely on him. That is the purpose of this teaching, for us to acknowledge him, to rely on him, to depend on him. Like we said, that we are vulnerable. We are as a sheep. You know, they direct us as a sheep. We just go, that's how they are busy. They are just like a sheep. Yeah, we are sheep. But we have a guide. We have a guiding father. We have the one that guides us with his rod and his staff. Okay, that's the alarm. That's the time I set for myself. So the guide us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So he guides us. He leads us, just inquire. So what does the Holy Spirit do again? Holy Spirit intercede. First, when we wake up in the morning, just say amen. Say, Holy Spirit, I say amen to all the prayers you have interceded for me. Because while we were sleeping, he was interceding. If not for him, my goodness, this enemy and all the other, they would have said, share that one. She knows how to talk during the day. Let's deal with that. But you know what? God, the that keepeth our Israel does not slumber nor sleep. So when we wake up, just say amen to your prayer. Amen, Holy Spirit, to all your prayers you have interceded for me today. Because so many times, somebody pray in the prayer room, in the Sarah's room. So they say, sometimes we don't even feel like praying. Sometimes we don't even feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. But the Holy Spirit just help us to pray. We just start somehow, and then you realize that you are able to pray, you know. So Holy Spirit intercede for us, and he teaches us how to intercede as well. So we actually ourselves, if you look at it, right, Holy Spirit has given us that same ministry that he has. So we are, as a teacher, we too, as all he's doing here, he's teaching us, he's showing us who he is and what he wants us to do. I don't know what I'm making point. What I'm saying is that, okay, because he's a teacher, he expects us to teach. He said, commit that same thing, that word you have been taught, commit it to the same faithful one. So commit it to others, so that there will be ripple effects, right? He's a comforter. He said, with the comfort that you have received, comfort others, right? So we too, we are to do what the Holy Spirit is actually doing. So he's helping us, so that we too can be a help to other people. That when people see you, they say, my help has come. They know that something, somehow, whether through your word, whether through giving, whether through encouragement, that something positive will come out of you. Right? So that's exactly what it is. So the Holy Spirit is doing this for us so that we can do the same to others. So he's teaching us how to love so that we too can love others. He's counseling us so that we too can be a counselor and give positive counsel to other people as well. Holy Spirit is our intercessor, is interceded for us, and is teaching us how to intercede for kings and princes and people in dignities, as the Bible has commanded us. Never mind whether Emilokun is saying it, whether is the Nigerian president is good or not, it does not concern me. My own is, God said, you should pray for the people, the kings and the people in authority. I'm not going to judge them. He's the King of Kings that appoints every king, and every one of them are actually fulfilling his purpose, including President Biden there, including our own in here that we have, the new style, the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. So God knows all those kings, in the whole nations. Putin is fulfilling scripture. Every one of them, they don't even know why they are there, but they are fulfilling scripture. So it's not for you to judge them. It's not for me to judge them, but to pray. So we need to keep interceding. As the Lord interceded for us, we need to intercede for them as well. So that is it about the work of those. What are the things that the Holy Spirit doesn't like? What are the things? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he does not want to be quenched. He does not want to be grieved. And he does not want to strive with him. Do not quench the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. That was just one sentence was written them, like just one sentence, that was powerful. First Thessalonians and in chapter number 5 and in verse 19, it said, quench not the spirits. The Holy Spirit can be quenched too. Let us not quench him. I will soon talk about what makes him, what can quench the Holy Spirit. Let us not quench. Another thing that Holy Spirit is a witness. A witness. A witness that he's he. He testifies of himself. And now we are to testify of him as well. And God will help us. So what are the things that the Holy Spirit hates? Holy Spirit hates unforgiveness. He hates bitterness. And Daddy has also recently dealt with the book of James. James 3 and in 14. Holy Spirit hates strife. He hates bitterness. He hates envy. He hates prolonged anger. These are the things that will make Holy Spirit just pack himself on one side and say, no. I am holy. That's why he's holy. He's holy and he cannot contain, he cannot condone sin. He hates sin. He loves sinners, but he hates sin. So Holy Spirit hates sin. So whatever it is, let us just thank God, tell God we are sorry. So I'm reading James 3 and in verse 14 of James chapter number 3. Holy Spirit, that is talked about it recently. But if ye have bitter envy and strive in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And that is not our portion. The Holy Spirit is our portion. So we want to make sure that we don't grieve him, we don't quench his spirit by not being unforgiving, because we were being forgiven. We were forgiven our own sin too. We were forgiven, and we ought to do the same thing. Forgive me as you have forgiven others. In the Lord's Prayer, when he taught us how to pray, he said, like we said in that teaching in Matthew, when Jesus said that man, he saw somebody owing him money and he couldn't pay it and he was forgiven. And then he went ahead and saw the person that owed him just a little. He owed much, they forgave him. He saw a person that owed him just a little and he wouldn't let him go down, putting him in prison. And so, and that judge heard about it and was furious. What is it? I forgave you much. And that's, we can see, that's the girl what God is saying, that all he has forgiven us much. That if we are going to compare what another person has done to us, it's so little to all that we have committed. And that God forgave us. So God expects us to forgive others. So unforgiveness is something that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because he'll be wondering that, I forgave you, by the way, why can't you forgive others? Right? So that is, and God will help us. So we need to ask for Holy Spirit to help us to forgive others. So heal the wound and help. So bitterness, envy, strife, prolonged hunger, evil speaking, there are things that God hates, detests it. It's not, we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, let us be my friend. I want to be your friend. He call us friend. He was not ashamed to call us his brethren. He's our Father, he's our God, even though he's our Creator. So Holy Spirit is there. What does he do to help? He helps us to witness, he helps us to intercede, he helps us to comfort others, he helps us not to love the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So he helps us to love him and not the world or the prince of this world. Because this world, the prince of this world has messed this world out up. So therefore the Lord is saying, do not love this world. Rather, put your gaze on me. Put your gaze and look unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith. And it helps us to fight the good fight of faith. And it helps us to contend, to earnestly contend for the faith that's once with. It helps us to fight, but not the physical fight of ranting. No. The fight, our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down the stronghold, is teaching us to fight the fight of faith. That this is what God said about me, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. I will keep saying it. That is the fight that we're talking about. Fighting that this word that God has said, I believe it, I speak it, that settles it. And you will not stop until you see the physical manifestation of this. So that is the fight that God is expecting you. Not the physical fight and throwing fists at somebody or what have you, but to fight the good fight of it. Because God has spoken it, and that has taught us here, we will not stop praying those words. We will not stop declaring those words until we see the physical manifestation of those words. So don't relent. Oh, you have been saying it. No, keep saying it. I'll be saying Acts 2, 20, 19:20 say, so muchly grow the word of God and prevail. So the word of God will definitely prevail, but it has to be spoken. It has to be declared, and the Lord will help all of us. Thank you so very much. This is all I've come to say. I have to leave the rest. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for the privilege, and I'm just going to pray. Eternal Spirit, we are so grateful. We are so, so very grateful for having you. Thank you so much for not leaving us comfortless. Thank you because you saw us in our wretched estate. You came to our rescue. You delivered us. You paid the ultimate price by yourself. You came and dwell inside of us. Father, we are so grateful. You breathed on us. All that we lost has been restored back to us. What a grace. What a privilege. We are not ordinary. You chose us. You made our body to be your temple. Father, we are grateful. So we continue to preserve this body for you. We continue to keep this body. Father, we thank you, gracious Lord. Ancient, whatever true, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are the sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet heavenly door. Father, we thank you. You have revived us, O God. We thank you because you are changing us, O God. As we behold your word, you have been changed with the image of your word that we behold. Glory to you. And thank you because you have comforted your people today. You have strengthened everyone that needed to be strengthened. You have healed everyone that needed to be healed. You have restored all that the enemy has stolen. You are everything to us. And so we give you glory. Thank you, Father, for your son, your servant, our father in here, that is the set man on this platform. Thank you for the grace that you have given unto him to nurture each and every one of us, to help us to be who you want us to be. We're so grateful. We thank you. We're not taking anything for granted. We thank Father for our mother, Mommy Ebon. It is well with her. She continues to grow gracefully. Everyone in this platform, I pray for them that, Lord, you meet them at the point of their needs. I appreciate you for your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for all you've done. In Jesus' powerful name, I have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Over to you, sir. Thank you, sir.